What if I told you weight loss is not about willpower, cutting carbs, or working harder in the gym, but instead comes down to flipping a specific switch in your body, one that helps flush out unnecessary calories? Heart surgeon and nutrition expert Dr. Stephen Gundry is revealing a new, simple, but insanely effective way to help get a slim, energized, and healthy body with no deprivation, restrictions, or fads. MCT Wellness can help you flip that switch yourself from the comfort of your own home. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. All you do is add a scoop to water and enjoy. Help unlock your body's potential by going to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
Trump endorsed MAGA extremist Bernie Moreno says he wants to move Ohio forward. He wants to make America great again. For whom? For people of color? For black people? Nah, Moreno is just looking out for himself and his white supremacist MAGA buddies. He doesn't believe in multicultural America and equality for all. His own company has a long history of being sued for discrimination. He even called for reparations for white people and is firmly against inclusion and diversity programs. If elected, Moreno will rubber stamp Trump's radical 2025 and roll back policies that'll directly harm black families, our finances, jobs, social security, and health care. And he'll turn back the clock on our civil rights. Moreno thinks white supremacy will make America great again. Real talk, Moreno was not for us and will never look out for us. We must re-elect Sherrod Brown, who's a champion for our community and all Ohioans. Vote to secure your rights and your future. Vote for Sherrod Brown, November 5th.
Paid for by WinSenate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WinSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
You are listening to Dove Valley Deep Divers with Eric Trickle
and Lance Sanderson.
Ball comes out of the hands of Newton. It's on the ground, picked up by T.J. Ward at the four-yard line. Vaughn Miller did it again.
On Overtime Media.
All right, welcome in everyone to another episode of the Dove Valley Deep Divers. I'm your host, Kenneth Booker, and here with me today is our senior draft analyst, the extremely knowledgeable Eric Trickle. Eric, how are you doing today? You excited for this upcoming game?
I'm excited for it. And, you know, just to step back real quick, you could say extremely knowledgeable and extremely cold. So it is a ongoing joke here that on Dove Valley Divers on Friday nights, you know, my office doesn't have heat. And now that it's starting to get cold out, it's actually snowing currently outside. It freezes my office. So I am bundled up. I have sleepers on, you know, I have a little coat on, a heated blanket. So I'm cold, but I'm excited. I'm excited to be here tonight. I'm excited for, you know, this Broncos game. My only question is, and you've talked about this multiple times on here, I hope they don't overlook this game. That is my biggest fear coming into it. I hope they are not overlooking the Panthers, because the two games they have after that, back-to-back road games against the Baltimore Ravens and Kansas City Chiefs, it would be so easy to overlook the worst team in the NFL and start mentally preparing for those, that road trip that they have.
Definitely. And I'd like to say the worst comes to worst, where they lose and then they lose to these next two, the Chiefs and the Ravens. They go from a super hopeful season right back to the 0-2 outlook that we had. Mm-hmm. So I think that they definitely should just put your foot on their throat. Don't give them any kind of hope. Eliminate Chuba Hubbard right off the bat. Put the ball in Bryce Young's hands and let him beat himself, essentially. So, but yeah, you guys, I mean, Scott was talking about it earlier this week or last week. He talked about he doesn't think it's going to be one of those games that sneak up on you and catch you slipping, just because we had that mini bye week. So we are not. We had the extra days to kind of to come down from that and really lock in and get ready for this team. And if we don't, then, I mean, that's like, that's on us.
Yeah, I can't remember. I saw something the other day on Twitter about Sean Payton after Thursday night games, and he does pretty well. His teams do pretty well. Same thing with after bye weeks. So, I mean, there's a lot here as to they should be focused on it. And this is a young team, like, and they know with you know, the history of this team is that they can't overlook any games. They can't afford to. Mm-hmm. And they do have playoff aspirations, and they need to win the games that they are supposed to win, and this is one of them. So I fear that they can overlook them. I don't think they will. I think they'll go in and basically control the game from start to finish. Hopefully the passing offense can start to click and gel and figure out, find some kind of consistency, because they are 24th to, I think, 28th in a few statistical categories. I can't remember exactly. I'd have to pull up Nick Kendall's tweet about it. Mm-hmm. And yet they're ranked second in explosive pass play rate in the NFL. So their offense is coming from explosive plays, which is nice. It's just hard to sustain success that way without having consistency in the passing game elsewhere.
Definitely. Is there what are some key matchups you're looking forward to in this game? Because the one I had was, I already talked about, was just Chuba Hubbard versus the defensive front seven. I feel like he's not like anything amazing, anything like that. He's a serviceable back who definitely could have big games here and there, but we can't give him any kind of hope whatsoever. Yeah. And I want to see if we can really shut him down and hold him to like those 1.2 yards a carry kind of situation.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the key matchups for me is, I think that Nick Benito, despite his issues as a run defender, he still needs to remain the starter over Baron Browning. Mm-hmm. And especially in this game, putting him against Eki Ekwonu, who's their left tackle, he's only allowed 14 pressures this season. He's only the only one on the Panthers offensive line who's allowed more than 10 pressures. And surprising, you know, what may be surprising news, they have done a really good job protecting the quarterback. They're among one of the better teams in quarterback quarterback pressure rate and total quarterback pressures. So they've done a pretty good job there, despite, you know, having, I think it's like 9 offensive linemen having over 100 snaps on the season, because they've been banged up. But when I watch Eki Ekwonu, he struggles with that explosive speed off the corner, off the edge. And that's Nick Benito. That is his whole game right now, is being that explosive, get off the snap and just get upfield, turn the arc and get after the quarterback. That is one matchup where you really need the Broncos to strain it. And then if you want to flip it, and you can, I have an article up talking about these two matchups specifically. On the flip side of it, the Broncos offense, I think they can't be fearful of JC Horn. He is having a pretty solid season, but his season, when you actually look at it, it's very boom or bust. He's allowed 5 touchdowns on the season, 1 interception, but he's also keeping his catch rate over expected is in the negatives. It's like negative like 13-14%. So he's not allowing, you know, catches that are to be expected to be made, but when he's allowing those catches, they're touchdowns, they're big plays.
Oh, okay.
Like 1/3 of the catches he's allowed have been touchdowns. 16 catches on the season allowed, 5 of them touchdowns. So I think that you can't be fearful of that, especially with the slate of corners they have coming up. Is you want to get that confidence in Bo Nix and the receivers that, hey, we can go against tough corners, move the ball and attack them and have that confidence. Because, you know, we talked about the Baltimore Ravens, we talked about the Kansas City Chiefs. They have some tough corners in both those places. The Atlanta Falcons, they have a pretty quality corner. The Raiders, not as much. But then the Cleveland Browns are a laughing stock because the offense, but the defense is still solid and their corners are playing good football. So tag JC Horn, not just for this game, but to try to help build that confidence in the pass game, as I was just talking about a couple minutes ago.
Definitely. That was like kind of one of my other matchups, was JC Horn against Cortland Sutton. Because Cortland Sutton was non-existent in the last game. It wasn't like, I don't know if he's not trying. He just didn't get any targets and other stuff was working. So I'd like to see him get back in the game and get a little more involved, especially just some other high point plays and stuff like that. See if he can get him a red zone touchdown. I'm not sure how many touchdowns does he have. He has that one-handed touchdown.
Oh, I can't think of how many touchdowns he has off the top of my head.
Yeah. But it's definitely not on the pace that he was on last year.
Definitely not. I mean, what, we didn't get a passing touchdown until what, when was it? Week 3, we got our first passing touchdown.
Yeah.
So he looks like he has 2 touchdowns on the season.
Oh, okay.
According to ESPN. But we do have some presenting sponsors tonight. We actually have 3 of them, so bear with us. We're going to do the first one now. And the first one is Prize Pick.
All right. Prize Picks is the best place to get real money sports action. With over 10 million members and billions of dollars awarded in winnings, Prize Picks has made daily fantasy sports accessible to all. You just pick more or less on at least two players for a shot to win 100 times the cash. Run your game all season long through Prize Picks. You got to check it out.
Yeah, Prize Picks is the only real money daily fantasy platform with an injury insurance policy. So your lineups stay in play even if one of your players gets injured. If your player leaves in the first half and doesn't return, Prize Picks keeps your lineup live. Prize Picks is the best place to get real money sports action. Join over 10 million users and sign up today. Prize Picks puts its members first, so all withdrawals are fast, safe, and secure. When my picks hit, I can get my money in as quick as 15 minutes. Sign up today and get $50 instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's just guaranteed.
Yeah. Download the app today and use the code MILEHIGH to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. Again, download Prize Picks app today and use the code MILEHIGH to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. Do you ever do a little gambling on your side?
I am not a gambler.
Price Picks is pretty fun. Cause I don't even think you need money sometimes for a Price Picks. It's kind
of, yeah. I'm one of those people that even between friends are like, oh, I'll bet you $5 if, about this. I'm like, no, like I don't even do that. So I am not a,
Wait, it's like a thing to everybody. It's like, you only gamble what you're willing to lose.
Yeah. It's like, so in my family, there's some gambling addiction, and with how I hyper fixate on things, there is a major fear of mine of getting hyper fixating on gambling, losing a lot of money, and creating serious financial issues within myself. So I think it's just best to avoid gambling.
Yeah, I can see that for sure. It's a slippery slope.
It is. But we have Michael Ronquillo coming in saying, good evening, Eric and Kenneth on the Dove Valley Deep Divers. Go Bo Broncos. We also have Diego Alonso with a $9.99 donation. Thank you, Diego. We appreciate that. And it says, looking lean, Eric. Good stuff. Hey, and I appreciate that as well. It's been nice. I got stuck on a plateau with my weight there for a while, but I'm back to dropping a little bit weight. I am approaching being under 280 pounds.
Oh, wow. I remember you were saying about trying to get under 300, and you were at 302 or something before.
I was 302 for the meet and greet. I didn't quite break the – or no, I was under – for the meet and greet, I was at 294, and I wanted to try to get under 290. My initial goal was 300. Once I got underneath 300, I wanted to get under 290, but you know, I got down under 300 like a week and a half, 2 weeks before, so odds of getting under 290 weren't great.
That's impressive, but no, man. It's so hard to lose weight. The way I have lost weight, it's kind of like the college diet. It's the involuntary intermittent fasting.
Yeah.
Speaking of groceries, like, oh no, I can't eat until the morning. And then
of fast food speaking of food and dieting, did you see the report from The Athletic about Uncrustables?
No, what did they say? It's probably bad.
So they are talking about how much Uncrustables get eaten in the NFL. Let me see if I can't find it, because it actually specifically mentions how much the Broncos have had per day. So fun, unknown, silly stat. This is from Sam Covaris on Twitter. Uncrustables are the favorite snack at halftime of most teams and post-practice during the week. League-wide, they eat at least 80,000 Uncrustables in a year. The Jaguars rank third with about 315 a week, where the Broncos are first, eating over 700 Uncrustables a week. This was insane. Like, I got such a kick out of reading it, and they have a whole article about it. But the fact that the Broncos players eat over 700 Uncrustables a week, I am not a big peanut butter fan. I have started to implement peanut butter a little bit more into my diet. But I cannot imagine eating that many Uncrustables. I mean, granted, it's over, you know, the whole team, the staff, the support staff, all that, but still, that is just an insane number to me.
Yes. All that working out, and it's just an easy snack. It's something you love since you're a kid. Yeah. Now they're starting to switch it up. I like the peanut butter and honey Uncrustables. Those ones are pretty good.
Peanut butter and honey. Mm-hmm. All I've seen are the strawberry jam and the grape jam. So we have Pro 16K coming in saying, Eric, what is your opinion on Josh Reynolds aside from wishing him well? Yeah, this was a crazy story when I got notified of it. Obviously wishing him well, wishing him a speedy recovery. Man, what a bad situation for him to be in. Hopefully he's you know, able to get back. He's been working with the team, practicing on the side because he's on injured reserve, dealing with a hand injury or a finger injury, one of the two, where he ended up having surgery on it. So, I mean, hopefully he recovers well. Wishing nothing but the best, wishing him, you know, a speedy recovery, getting back to the team, not just from what has happened, but, you know, the injury beforehand, and seeing what he could do on the field, because it wasn't the best start of the season for him.
Yeah, that's rough news for the Broncos. We've had a history of stuff like that happening. I mean, the most serious one, of course, was Derrick Williams when he lost his life. And
yeah.
And then you have Aqib Talib situation. I think that was a little different. I heard a whole bunch of different stories about that one. He might have shot him. Anyway. Then you have Reynolds. And then even like our old Bronco, Javon Walker, I was talking about earlier, who got robbed, I think right after we traded him or he signed with the Raiders, he got robbed in Vegas. These guys are targets. They wear a lot of jewelry. They're rarely recognizable, which is one that Josh Reynolds is the one person I've known he's been in the league for years. And when I saw him, I was like, I didn't know that was Josh Reynolds. So maybe it was just the flash and the money and stuff like that. But yeah, you got to have security. You got to be aware of your surroundings. You got to go to those places in better neighborhoods, I guess. I don't know. I don't know if they're in better neighborhoods. They're usually in the city, whatever. But yeah, it's sad that happened. Hopefully he gets better real fast, though. All right. Good evening, Kenneth and Eric. Where's your one matchup you guys are looking forward to watching? Okay. Well, we had talked about it a little bit. Mine was actually, I don't know if I brought up this one. It was Javonte Williams against the worst rushing defense in the league. I want to see him pop off another game. Like I said, I don't think Javonte is a 100-yard back. He's more of a 70-yard back. And like the two TDs, that's what you want to get out of him. So I want to see him really punish the Carolina team. And I want the Broncos to use him. I don't want estimating that, really. I don't want to give any kind of chances of a turnover to give him any kind of hope. Javonte and McLaughlin.
Yeah, I mean, I saw the little thing that Javonte Williams gave Audric Estime a ball to carry around practice, which is understandable. Audric Estime's fumbled 2 times on 9 carries, but Javonte Williams needs a ball of his own to carry around because he's fumbled 2 times on like 69 more carries or 64 more carries, 73 total carries. So ball security has been an issue. Jaleel McLaughlin, he's put the ball on the ground once. Tyler Beatty, who's on injured reserve, he put the ball on the ground once back on the play he got hurt on. So ball security is a big issue. And even though this is a terrible rushing defense, they actually do a decent, for lack of a better way to put, job of not allowing super big carries. Mm-hmm. They have allowed 27 carries of 10 yards or more on the season, which is the sixth most, but the average is only 24.
Okay.
So it's not much higher than the average. And they don't stack the box a whole lot, which should help out the Broncos and everything with what they do. They kind of keep it kind of more of a neutral box, I believe. They don't really go light, but we kind of saw that with Evero. I mean, he's the defensive coordinator there. We saw what his kind of run defense was like here in Denver a few years ago, and it's very similar to it. They have issues tackling. They're one of the teams that has allowed more yards after contact. I clicked on the wrong thing. They've actually done a pretty good job of keeping it done. They're at the bottom of yards after contact in the NFL, allowing 2.79 yards after contact. That's the 10th fewest in the NFL currently. But what they are doing is they're allowing almost 2 yards before contact, which is the 7th most in the NFL. So I accidentally clicked on the wrong, those stats backwards there, and I apologize for that. And they're, I mean, their defense is so bad that their rush yards over expected, it's only 109 yards because they're just so far out of place and such a bad defense. Talent wise, I mean, their best player isn't playing this year in Derek Brown, and they have so many holes in this, all over the field on that defense. Mm-hmm. They're not executing. The scheme isn't ideal. The scheme doesn't really fit who they have. So there's all these issues. So Javonte Williams and sustaining the run game, it got going against the Saints. They need to sustain it. It can help take pressure off the passing game. I'm with you. I think that is one of the, you know, the key things to watch for in this game.
Yeah, I think you win. You could win the game all by just with the running game all by itself. I was looking at the rushing stats, and the Saints were like third to last, and Carolina was like last. Yeah, you really got to – I mean, and then you got to get your confidence in your running backs, you know, to get a back-to-back good week instead of just being a fluke. And then maybe take a little bit of the ball out of Bo Nix's hands, especially on the rushing as well. I know he's doing pretty well, but we all saw what happened. I mean, Jaden Daniels got hurt in the last game. He's a lot more slight. He's a lot more like a wiry kind of guy, whatever. But you just don't want your guy to take too many hits. But yeah, besides that, they said that Carolina was giving up 162 yards a game.
Yeah.
That's insane. How are you so many games giving 100? I mean, it's like the time of possession's got to be another, they got to lose time of possession like every single game.
Yeah, it's rough. I mean, 162.1 yards. They're being ran on 54% of the time. The next closest team is the Miami Dolphins, who they're facing a run 51.4% of the time. So 3.6% more that they are, or sorry, 2.6% more that they're getting run on, which teams get up early, they run it. And that 162.1 yards per game, I mentioned this to you earlier, that is dragged down so much by their game they had against the Raiders, who are one of the worst rushing offenses. They allowed only 55 yards rushing against the Raiders in that game, which drags that 152 yards way down. When you take that game out of it, it's like 180 some odd. And I understand that some teams can have, you know, have good games, it can have bad games, et cetera, et cetera. But the Raiders, they're one of the worst rushing offenses in the NFL. So kind of like taking that out, the Broncos have had more, let's see, I can't remember, how was it worded? In one of my articles, I mentioned this about the rush yards the Broncos had compared to the average of against the Chiefs, and I can't remember exactly how it was worded. I think they've had two games over the average they have. And even if you take out the Raiders game, I think it's still two games over their average when you adjust for that, taking that Raiders game out or something to that effect. So, yeah, I mean, we saw it against the Saints. This offensive line, they're starting to put things together. And I know I've seen a lot of people also wanting to not necessarily throw out the Saints game because of how beat up they are, but kind of take it for a grain of salt. Mm-hmm. There are 22 players on the injury report for the Carolina Panthers this week. 6 or 8 of them are out. 4 of them are not listed as questionable, out, or doubtful. So those are guys that are going to play. And so they have like a total of like 10 or 12 people that are doubtful or out for this game out of the 22 players on their injury report.
That's insane.
They are beat up all over. They have backup. They have 4 safeties on this game. And I think, or on the injury report, 3 of them are out.
Jeez. Yes.
So the Broncos should be better get a run game going against this one.
Well, it's from C. Chang's talked about, he's predicting that Bryce gets sacked 6 times and throws 3 interceptions. And RD gets 3 touchdowns. I don't know. So the thing on that one, I don't know if he's still in the game after they get the 2nd touchdown. But I guess they have nobody else. I mean, prayers. I'm glad that Andy Dalton and his family are okay. But I don't even know who their third quarterback is.
Well, when they benched, I had a conversation with Lance Anderson a couple weeks ago about when they benched Bryce Young and then they got blown out by the Bengals, so they pulled Dalton to put Bryce Young back in. At that time, they didn't have a third quarterback on the roster or on the practice squad.
Jeez.
They just had Bryce Young and Andy Dalton. Or no, sorry, they had, I think they had Jake Plummer or Jack Plummer.
I was like, whoa.
Whatever his name is.
It's like they don't have
the guy who's not actually the son of Jack Plummer on the practice squad. I think. Yeah. I can't remember exactly for sure. So they are not in the best quarter in the best position quarterback wise, and it's in a way their own fault for how they built their roster. I'm actually pulling it up now to see if they have ever added a third one to it. Yeah, so they have Andy Dalton and Bryce Young. Those are the only two quarterbacks on the active roster. And they have let me see here. Yeah, Jack Plummer is the quarterback. He's on the practice squad. Obviously, he's going to be elevated for this game and active for it because they just don't have another quarterback. Andy Dalton's listed as out. So, yeah. And going back to those stats, I actually had this game as, for one of my bold predictions, is the Broncos get three takeaways. They get at least 8 sacks on, you know, the Panthers. Just not the 3 defensive touchdowns. So that was the only thing out of it that I didn't include in it.
So, yeah, you just... Eric shaved off just the 3 touchdowns, just like we can use Manscaped to do a little shaving ourselves. So, hey, everyone, this episode is brought to you by Manscaped, the global leader in men's lifestyle and grooming. Every man knows the unbeatable feeling of a fresh barbershop shave. Now, what if I told you didn't have to wait weeks or even months for your next appointment to experience it?
Introducing Manscaped's newest innovation, the Chairman Pro Electric Foil Shaver. The game-changing tool that brings the luxury of a professional shave right into your home. Whether you're after the daily, silky, smooth finish or prefer to maintain a rugged 5 o'clock shadow, the Chairman Pro Electric Foil Shaver is your go-to for precise and style every single time. Head over to manscaped.com and join the over 11 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped by using the code HUDDLE for 20% off and free shipping.
Yeah, get the Chairman Pro today and experience it. Shave that is smooth as you deserve. Get 20% off plus free shipping with code HUDDLE at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping with the code HUDDLE at manscaped.com. Yeah. I use Manscaped a little bit. It's pretty affordable compared to like Gillette stuff, and it gets relatively the same shave.
They have some good products.
Yeah. It's affordable shave for the everyman kind of situation. Yeah. So besides that, our pass rush has been insane this year.
Yes.
With Benito, of course, Jonathan Cooper started off hot. Zach Allen is just on a tear. So with Benito and Zach Allen, they're on pace to, I don't know, at least Zach Allen's an all-pro season.
Yes.
Benito is like on a fringe of that. If they continue to go hard like this, how do you see their seasons finishing, like in a ballpark of like stat wise, or do you like to do that?
I don't know. I mean, Nick Benito, I didn't doubt his ability to get it. I didn't think he would break 10 sacks on the season, but he's looking like he could. I mean, he's had 5 sacks and one sack in 5 straight games. And there's a good chance for him to get 6 and 6 straight games, or his 6 straight games. Zach Allen, I am not surprised at all by Zach Allen. I wrote an article in, you know, preseason or late July, early mid August, somewhere around there, talking about the disrespect that Zach Allen is getting and how he's going to basically shut all of that up. Because people were ignoring just how strong he finished last season. He had a rough start. The first 4 weeks of the season last year were not great from Zach Allen. It had a lot of people questioning whether or not he would be worth it. I remember having this conversation with Nick multiple times on Twitter and privately. But when you take out those first 4 weeks, so you're looking from week 5 on, Zach Allen was in the top 3 of almost every single statistical category, advanced statistical category for interior defensive linemen. And people just ignored that, and they wanted to call him bad. They wanted to say that he wasn't worth it, that he was a failure of a signing. Well, it was understandable that he had a rough start to the season because of what they're doing defensively. Vance Joseph just talked about this recently. I've been talking about it for over a year since, you know, they changed up their defense and what they were doing. And Zach Allen wasn't comfortable. They changed up what they're doing up front defensively, which put Zach Allen in a better position to succeed, and he was doing. And this year they're going into it that we're going to be doing that from the start. Mm-hmm. So Zach Allen was going, like, he started a little bit hotter than I thought, but I'm not surprised that he's having as good of a start as he is, if that makes sense. So he's definitely on an all-pro level. He's been top three interior defensive lineman so far this season, and I don't think he's two or three. I think he has been the best interior defensive lineman so far this season, and which is saying a lot because there's been a lot of guys who are having good seasons.
That's awesome to hear.
Nick Benito, like, he's pushing for 10 sacks. Jonathan Cooper, he's looking like he'd be the number one guy. And we have Cody W. coming in with a $2 donation. Thank you, Cody. We appreciate that. Saying Browning is gone end of season.
Yeah.
I think you make calls for teams to see if they'll take Baron Browning. And it's basically we will take whatever you're willing to offer.
That's rough, yeah. That's too bad. We got Chase Wellner coming in. He says, with PJ lockout, looks like Skinner's going to be starting. Do you think he is, or is it going to be somebody
Devin else? Devin Key.
Oh, okay. He did have that sack earlier in the season too, huh?
Devin Key is their third safety. So he's starting. He's stepping up. Mike Kliss has an article about it. And I think they announced it today that Devin Key will be the one starting opposite Brandon Jones and replace a PJ Lock.
So the crumble cookie. Is that the real place?
I doubt it.
That would be awesome if it was. I love those cookies. They're really sweet, though. It says they feel like the PJ Lock injury is just being safe with him before the Ravens and Chiefs game. If we're playing the Ravens this week, he thinks he would be playing. Do you agree?
No. Let me pull up this article from Mike Kliss real quick. He is considered doubtful to play next week against the Ravens. PJ Locke is, according to Mike Kliss.
Oh.
So let me pull up this article here and kind of read the excerpt of it where he talks about it. Let me see here. So PJ Locke, as their starting safety, has been declared doubtful with a thumb injury. Locke appeared to suffer the injury during practice Wednesday. It is a type of injury where, besides the game Sunday against Carolina, next week game at Baltimore would also be in doubt.
So he's not going to rock the cast, I guess, then, huh?
Yeah.
Who was the last guy we had that rocked the cast? He was always hurt. Really good player. K1 Alexander or K1 Williams?
Oh, Quan Williams. Yeah.
He was good. He just was hurt. I really liked him. He was feisty. Is he still in the league?
He signed somewhere, but I don't know if he's still with them. I know he signed somewhere in the off season and was with them at least for part of the preseason.
Okay. Crumble Cookie's getting in here big time. They want to see JL Skinner on some blitzes to demolish Bryce Young, which I wouldn't mind. I like seeing those linebacker blitzes like we used to see with what's his face that we're seeing this week. Josie Jewell, and then they would start doing with Singleton. I don't know who's the next guy. I guess Cody Barton would be the next guy to slide into that role.
Yeah, probably.
But yeah, so maybe Skinner gets in there to help out Cody Barton on a couple. I don't know. It'd be nice to see him in there, especially if it's for that specific reason, just to get off to the quarterback. Yeah. And then Crumble Cookie.
Huh?
Oh. I was saying Crumble Cookie's always talked about Javonte going off for 200 yards this game. You never know. I don't know. I haven't seen when's the last time we've seen 200-yard game Clint Portis.
I don't even remember the last 200-yard game that we had. I don't even remember here, but we have Cody W coming in with a $5 donation saying Locke has never been healthy for a full season. It's not a surprise. That's a position that'll be looked for off season. I don't think that's accurate that he hasn't been healthy for a full season. Just hasn't played a full season because up until last year, he was just a rotational player. Yeah. Played special teams, if that, was on the practice squad for a while. But I don't disagree. I do think they'll be looking for additional safety help this offseason.
Yeah, I think he's always been like, because he's always been behind Justin Simmons or Kareem Jackson. And then when Kareem started kind of getting rotated out, he started getting a little more play. This is kind of a sentimental one, I guess. He's only here for a year, but it was nice to have him while he's here. Does anyone feel sorry for Evero? He seemed pretty bummed during his interviews. I didn't see the interviews.
I didn't see the interview, but I don't feel bad for him. Like, I get it. It stinks, but he made his bed and he has to lay in it. I mean, he decided that he didn't want to stick with Denver because they fired his good friend, Nathaniel Hackett. Like, it is what it is. He decided he wanted to leave because of that, because his friend was such a terrible coach that he got fired before the season was over and he didn't want to stick around. So yeah, it is what it is.
Let's say, yeah, it's a business. It's, I don't know. People get fired, especially if you lose a bunch of games. At the time, we thought Russell Wilson was going to play a lot better, I guess.
Yeah.
But I mean, I don't know. I don't feel sorry for him. I don't feel sorry for millionaires. That's kind of my rule. I feel sorry when they, like, I guess if they lose a family member or something like that.
Yeah.
But, like, losing a job, I can care less. So then we talked about some trades. Everybody keeps bringing up the David Njoku trade, Kyle Pitts. And then Nick and Scott had talked about one on Broncos for Breakfast a few days back. Because they talked about having the running back and a tight end is what we really wanted. But it's not likely we're going to get David Njoku. And if we do get a tight end or running back, it'll probably be somebody that's more for depth. Or maybe a running back that holds onto the ball. But yeah, it's most likely won't happen. And he was talking about some bigger trades that would be very interesting. Most likely won't happen, but if they did, they would be game changers. The two ones where it would be Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave. We would require first round picks in those trades, but would be automatic upgrades, immediate impact players, if Knicks can get him the ball, of course.
Yeah, I mean, Chris Olave, he's got a lot of medical issues that I wouldn't actually go that way. But Garrett Wilson is very intriguing. His best route is the dig route, which is something that is such a mainstay in Sean Payton's offense. It would be like a match made in heaven. The Broncos don't really have somebody who excels at running that route right now. Garrett Wilson has a lot more routes than that in his repertoire. It's just that's the one that he's been most successful on. Mm-hmm. It would be great. I don't think Denver does it. It's been talked about multiple times by other people. I think Mike Kliss has mentioned it about looking for a tight end. So maybe it's not David Njoku. Obviously, I'm not entirely sure that the Browns will want to move him, because when you trade a player, it takes both teams to get the trade done. They got to be willing to trade the player. And I think that will be the issue the Broncos will face more when it comes to getting these guys instead of their desire to land them. And then Crumble Cookies, who's becoming a mainstay on the pod tonight, mentions yeah. Hunter Henry. Hunter Henry just signed a contract extension. There's no way he's being traded. He just signed a 3-year extension with the Patriots this offseason.
That's what's so rough about when it comes down to this year. It's not like you have a ton of people to choose from.
Yeah.
And it reminds me of, I just saw a tight end story online. It was Kyle Rudolph catching his last regular season touchdown, I guess. It was his 50th touchdown. It was a big deal for him. Apparently it was Tom Brady's last touchdown. Yeah. And they talked about that. And he's like, I think I just ruined that ball. So I don't know if he like signed it or something like that. But they talked about that. He was like, I had 44 touchdowns for like 3 years. Like, I couldn't get to 50, and then he finally did. But
have one more final ad read for tonight for Mint Mobile.
So Mint, okay, here we go. With big wireless providers, what you see is not always what you get. Somewhere between the store and your first month's bill, the price that you thought you were paying magically skyrockets. With Mint Mobile, you'll never have to worry about those gotchas ever again. When Mint Mobile says $15 a month when you purchase a three-month plan, they mean it. Say goodbye to those overpriced wireless plans, monthly bills, and unexpected overages.
Yeah, so to get this new customer offer and your new three-month premium wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/huddle. That's mintmobile.com/huddle. You can cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/huddle.
Looks like I don't know what was going on in the chat earlier. Thought this was Ernie was talking about. He thought this was a Broncos podcast. Never mind. But yeah, is there somebody out there that you would like to go after that that nobody's really talking about, that maybe slides under the radar? Because I know they talked about Cooper Kupp. That's kind of unrealistic. But yeah, I don't know. Somebody that how we would never trade in division, I guess, but somebody like with the Raiders receiver, what's his name? The one that roasted us, and then Kareem Jackson knocked
Jacoby him out. Myers?
Yeah, somebody like Jacoby Myers level.
That level, no.
It produces,
but if David Njoku, which Todd does not believe that David Njoku is gonna become a Denver, which I would say it's unlikely. Then Austin Hooper, the other tight end that the Patriots have, he's bounced around a little bit. He has quietly had a really good season, and what he's doing best is blocking, which is what the Broncos need more than anything.
Nice. Yeah, I remember him on Cleveland, and then him on the Falcons as well. Played pretty well on both those teams. That would be nice. That'd be cheap too.
He's a pretty solid receiver. Like, he had his a couple years. He's been staying around about 300 to 400 yards for most part. Has three seasons back, you know, three of his first 4 years in the NFL. He broke 500. Mm-hmm. Last year he only had 230 yards playing for the Raiders. But he's reliable enough. He can run good. He runs good routes, but he's really taken his blocking to the next level over the last couple of years. He bounces around the NFL. I doubt he would cost a lot from New England to trade for him. He has a contract that is tradable. I would call on him. The Broncos need a tight end. I think that is the position that the Broncos are lacking the most. And they needed someone there.
Wow. Oh yeah. That'd be awesome. Cause he's proven he can perform. I can't even talk. He's proven he can perform. He's proven he can be an 80 receiving yards in a game on any given day. It's not like he's going to have it every game. He'll get you like a couple catches here and there, but he can, if you forget about him, he can roast you. So that would be nice. Yeah. And I don't know how many playoff games he's played in, but that'd be nice to get somebody who had a little playoff experience too.
Yeah. I mean, he's played in some, and thing is he's, despite, you know, not doing a whole lot this season, he's still doing better than any of the tight ends that the Broncos have. And he's better than any of the tight ends the Broncos currently have. I know there's a lot of hype for Lucas Kroll, who does some plays every now and then as a receiver, but offers almost nothing as a blocker. He's almost as bad as Greg Dulcich. Adam Trautman offers nothing as a receiver and hasn't been doing well as a blocker. And Nate Adkins is just another guy. Austin Hooper on the season, I mean, he's averaging 9.5 yards per catch. He's already had he's had 12 catches. 8 of them went for first downs and picked up 114 yards on the season. He's got a high success rate. So
those are my two favorite things. 9.5 yards in the first downs.
Yeah.
It's not 2 yards and no first downs. Cause that's like a lot of our guys. Mm-hmm. They get these really short passes that come up short. Yeah, Cody W. talks about we won't get a running back. They're just going to give Bidet a chance. I hope he's like completely healthy and he's good to go, because he ran really hard. He ran really well. His thing reminded me of, I'm not comparing him to Terrell Davis as all around, but he would remind me of him because he gets positive yards. It seems like he tends to fall forward. And that's, I don't know, that's kind of it's a big thing, from 1 yard to minus 2 yards. Like a 3 yard swing, and it changes your whole play call situation.
Yeah.
But yeah, hopefully Bidet can do it. Hopefully he had fun in New Orleans. I think he's from down there too, when they were down there last weekend.
Yeah. He talked about it, that there was a comment about it. And yeah, I mean, you were talking about how he ran really well. Well, he also showed the best vision of the running backs on this team in that short span. And it all depends on the back injury. Back injuries can be injury, or it can be tricky. And so it's may seem like it's okay, but I wouldn't be surprised if the Broncos, you know, remain a little cautious with it. He does have to be spend this week on injured reserve. He's not eligible to come back this week, but he could be eligible to come back for the Baltimore Ravens game. So we can get an answer to that. But yeah, I think that we could do something more, better than that. And I think that as long as Javonte Williams is keeping his confidence, I'm content with the running back room. I am not seeing this major need to add a running back like so many other people are. Mm-hmm. It's been fine. I wouldn't trade for a running back to aim for getting better than fine for the season. I just roll with what we got there.
Yeah, like it's the only guy we already have. The version of him would be maybe like a Khalil Herbert or something like that, but we have Jaleel. And then Paul Bidet, question mark. We need a running back. I don't know if he's giving me a hard time, but I guess that's how he says his name. I thought it was Beatty. Or was it, what were we calling, Beatty or Batty?
Beatty.
And then apparently he explained to the press it was Bidet. And then when you found out he was from our New Orleans, I mean, that kind of makes sense with like French and Creole.
Well, apparently, like, part of the whole story is it actually is Beatty, but there's been some family issues there, so he's kind of separating himself.
Oh, and changing it
to Bidet, from what I understand from one of the reports that I saw. I don't know how accurate that is, but wouldn't be the first time that we've seen something like that happen. There's been a couple players that have been like, Bidet, though.
Anyway, he's playing well. We wish him the best. And we'll give him a nickname. We'll try to figure out a nickname for him. and then we got Vance Joseph. He continues to do really well with his defense. People talk about him possibly like leaving in the offseason, whatever, if people start going after him for a head coaching position. Do you think that's something that he should go after if he is approached with the head coaching position, or should he kind of go the Dick LeBeau way and just be a career ultra successful defensive coordinator?
It's tough because, you know, the ultimate goal for a lot of these guys, not all of them, some of them are fine staying as coordinators, is to be an NFL head coach, to be a Super Bowl winning head coach. I do not think that that Vance Joseph is ready to be content as staying as just a defensive coordinator. That is just me with, you know, just listening to how he says some things and how he talks in some press conferences and interpreting it. So I'm not saying it. This is 100% factual. This is just my opinion and my take on it. So I don't think that he, you know, wants to do that. I am not sure he'll jump at a head coaching job this year, especially with the jobs that are looking like they will be available. Obviously, we always get the surprises, and maybe one of those surprises could be the one that, you know, he's all for. But I do think that there will be teams interested, and I think as long as this continues up, I think that after the 2025 season, again, if the defense keeps up the way it is, his name will be one of the hottest names for a head coaching job.
Yeah, Rodney Garcia hopes he's going to stay for at least one more season. I don't know. I wonder. This is the thing I was wondering too. With our defense playing so well, almost mirroring the 2015 defense, and how he initially was the first choice for defensive coordinator of that team, until the Bengals didn't give him permission, or the Broncos permission to interview him. And I was wondering, like, how do you think he would have got similar results I think he would have got similar results if he played how he's playing them right now. But maybe not last year. I don't know.
I think then the results would have been pretty similar because the defense that they were playing at the time was much more in line with what he likes to do. And I think that he would have done that. We saw him. He was up and down during his time in Arizona. His passing defenses were pretty solid. Rushing defense was an issue, which was, you know, like the Broncos defense is here for his 2 years as head coach. I do think he would have been fine. I don't think he would have been as good as he has been with his play calls and sequencing and, you know, the just everything with what he's doing with the players that he has, especially, you know, back then he didn't quite have somebody like Patrick Surtain. Not that they were untalented on defense. The guys they had just were not on Patrick Surtain's level, and he is the straw that serves the drink for this defense. So I think it would have been good. I think that it would have been a pretty solid outing as a defensive coordinator for him.
Yeah, and it's nice to see Wade Phillips move on afterwards. He's not, was it AFL or what was it? It was an XFL. He was with one of those leagues.
I can't remember which one it was.
And they won the whole thing. Maybe that's like a thing like for him as well, like where he probably could have got a job as a D coordinator in the league. Mm-hmm. But he wanted to be a head coach, so he was willing to step to a lower level to experience that again. But I don't know. They talked about, somebody got new nickname. That's funny. So then I was going to talk about some news from around the league. Yesterday's game, did you catch the face mask?
Nope.
His head almost came off. they missed this face mask. His face was completely turned around. That's why I'm happy that they like kind of work out before and they're kind of sweaty in those helmets. Mm-hmm. So they slide around, but it was, it could have been a serious injury if he wasn't sweaty. But it cost them the game. It put them to a 10-point deficit with like 2 minutes left in the game. So that was kind of crazy. But they couldn't review it. And that's one of the things I've had issues with reviewing. I don't understand why it's only certain things you can review. Like, who cares what you can review? Once you use the review, you're done. Like, once you're out of your reviews, you're out of your reviews. So, like, they should be able to review stuff like that.
So the reason why I get what you're saying, and I don't disagree with that. I think that everything, you have your two challenges, maybe three, you should be able to challenge basically anything. But the reason why they don't is time.
Mm-hmm.
That whole argument that they've made, the NFL has given it multiple times about it, falls apart when you bring up the fact that whether it is, you know, plays like that or spotting the ball, it's still a max of three challenges per team.
Yeah, that was just rough. I know they were having issues with the pass interference. That's pretty subjective, mm-hmm. I guess. Most of the time, it seems like it's pretty obvious, but it could be subjective. But that situation, it was like, that wasn't subjective. His whole head almost came off. Do you guys think Jones is gone at the end of the season?
DJ Jones? Yes, I think this is his last year in Denver.
That's rough. He seems like he's kind of starting to come around, but yeah, he's becoming replaceable essentially.
Yeah, I mean, and they're showing it. His snap count's kind of dipping a little bit while Malcolm Roach is going up. They're starting to get Aoma Wazirike got 20 snaps on the field a couple weeks ago, and he played really well on those 20 snaps. Like, he had impact plays on like 10 of them. Jordan Jackson's been seeing the field and he's been pretty doing pretty decently. Malcolm Roach is like three of the last four games. I think Malcolm Roach has had more snaps than DJ Jones. I can't remember exactly, and I might be completely mistaken on that. DJ Jones is replaceable, and it's starting to show that.
Looks like somebody was lucky that they had Denver's defense and Lutz this week in fantasy. Do you play fantasy football at all, Eric?
I don't know.
Yeah, that's the worst. I when you get beat by a kicker, because they have like seven field goals and they have like 30 points as much as like a quarterback. Yeah. I lost 2 weeks ago because of my kicker was negative points and I lost by 2 points.
So, you know, Nick, Carl, Lance, Dylan, we're all in a group chat and they all play fantasy football. And I think they're at the point where they want to fly up here and strangle me, because anytime they talk about, you know, being down, being ahead, I always go, hey, my fantasy team, they're winning. They've won every game. They're undefeated. I don't have one. It's the same thing with March Madness brackets. I don't do a March Madness bracket. Yeah. So I always make the joke that it's perfect. When I fill it out after these games, it'll still remain perfect. So yeah. I'm pretty sure that those guys are ready to strangle me about making those jokes.
Yeah. Yeah. I had two different teams and they went in two different directions. One was, I think where I'm 2-4 in one of them, and the other one I'm 4-2. But the one I'm 2-4, I lost two games by like 1 point each. Is anybody else in here playing some fantasy football? Then we've got some good fantasy football names. They usually have some pretty fun one, like Turn Your Head in Golf. It was one of mine. But I don't know. Do you got anything else you got to talk about for today for the show? We guess we can go with our predictions.
Yeah, let me pull mine up because I do not remember at all what it was.
Yeah, what's everybody else's prediction in the room? And is there anybody predicting us to choke, apparently?
Has anybody in the chat have Carolina winning this game? Let us know so we can block you. Kidding. 100% kidding. So, yeah, pulling it up, I have Denver completely blowing this one out. Well, I talked about at the beginning of the show of being slightly concerned and talking about how easy it would be for them to overlook this game. I don't see that happening. I think that they're going to go in and just completely shut them down. I have them winning 38-13 with, you know, them scoring a touchdown very late in the game when the Broncos start pulling some starters.
Okay. I think I have, of course, I'm on the bottom. Oh, yeah, here we go. I finally won my first game last week. It started getting pretty embarrassing. I was on the verge of just picking the Broncos to lose every game after that so that they would win every game. But I won last week. I picked the Broncos to pretty put a beating on them, essentially to never let the Carolina's offense get going and win 27-6. Just a couple field goals. Maybe go for it on fourth down, like late in the fourth quarter, to try to get a touchdown and not get it. And then the Broncos just kneel it. But we got Rodney Garcia says 26-10 Broncos. Phil McLaughlin, 31-9. Whoa, Todd Ochsendorf is getting a little crazy with it, huh? 77. Nice. And Ernie, 31-6. Yeah, that would be nice. I could use a game. I guess the last game was like this, but it's really nice when the fourth quarter is like no stress.
Yeah.
You can kind of just relax and enjoy.
You can, you know, kind of sleep through the fourth quarter a little bit, kind of like I did against the Saints.
That's what defensive coordinator.
I'd mentioned it. I've been dealing with, you know, the COVID-19. And there are some days where it's still kicking my butt. And that was one of them. So I checked out in like the late third quarter and got some sleep. And it was much needed.
Okay. So Cody W has been doing DraftKings parlays. Knicks and Williams to rush for 25 plus yards and Lutch to get two field goals. That makes sense. Definitely all of those make sense. Knicks is going to get his yards. 25 is definitely doable for running back, even if you are struggling most of the time. But this is the worst rushing defense. I might even go higher on those rushing yards.
Yeah. I'm not going to be here next week. Got some family stuff coming up. Lance will be filling in for me is the plan at the moment. So real quick, we have Rodney Garcia. Normally we wouldn't, you know, talk about this game because we have a show next week, but I won't be here for it. He says, Kenneth and Eric, do you think we have a chance to upset the Ravens next week? Yes. but I find it highly unlikely. I will not be picking Denver to win that game because what the Baltimore Ravens are doing offensively directly attacks what the Broncos kind of struggle with. They just haven't faced a team to pressure them that way yet. And yeah, I do think it will be a pretty close game. I'm not going to pick it to be a blowout. I think that both teams score less than 24 points. And my final score prediction will probably be something along the lines of like 23-16 or something to that effect.
So mine's, I won't give it to you technically since I will be here next week, but it's kind of a hint. I think they're going to split the games between Baltimore and Kansas City. I won't tell you who I think is going to win, but I think they're going to split it. And if they do that, they're a serious team this year.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I talk about it, you know, splitting it into quarters, you know, the next five games after the Panthers, you know, going to the bye week. I talked about it last week. It is a tough slate of games. Road trip, four after the Panthers are on the road. And they're back home against Cleveland, who has a pretty tough defense. And at that point, maybe they're starting to figure out their offense. Who knows? The next five games after the Panthers are pretty critical for them. But I think that's going to have to do it for us before we get out of here. Of course, this is a Mile High Huddle podcast. You can make sure you can follow the Mile High Huddle Twitter account at Mile High Huddle. You can also follow the Dove Valley Deep Divers Twitter account at DVDD_pod. On top of that, you can find Kenneth and myself on Twitter at Kenneth_MHH on Twitter and at Eric Trickle, ERICKTRICKEL. That often gets flipped a lot, or there's always, you know, just a C or no, and no K. That's a pretty common one as well. With that, you can also follow at the MHH pod. You can follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/milehighhuddle and facebook.com/milehighhuddlepod. You can get access to all of our written content as well as all of our shows, just in case we ever have technical issues with YouTube, which does happen every now and then, but it's more common that we have issues on the Facebook side of it. So if you're not following on YouTube, make sure you go to youtube.com/milehighhuddle and subscribe there as well. You can go to mhhmerch.com to get some of that merch on, or swag on, as Chad likes to say. You can get awesome hats like this one that I happen to have right off to the side. Wanted to keep my ears a little bit warmer, so went with a different hat. You can find shirts, sweatshirts, posters, coffee mugs, all sorts of stuff on there, which would make great Christmas gifts or holiday gifts, depending on what holiday you celebrate. As we approach that time, you can follow us on Instagram at Mile High Huddle with an underscore between Mile and High and High and Huddle, and you can get access to all sorts of stuff on there. Spotify or Apple, go there to whichever one you happen to be listening to, those of you who are listening to us after the fact, and leave a 5-star review. It gives you a chance to win some merchandise of the MHH variety each month. And of course, if you are unable to do so financially, the one thing that you can do that is such a major boost for the algorithms on every single site is subscribe, like, and share. It is especially huge on YouTube. Commenting also helps with the algorithm both on YouTube and Facebook, so make sure you guys are doing that as well. We appreciate you guys tuning in. Before we get out of here, we want to say thank you to Diego Alonso and Cody W for both of you guys coming in with some super chats here on YouTube, and then those of you that came in with some stars on Facebook. Unfortunately, we weren't able to see who was starring. Scott still isn't with us, and so we don't have the access to the ability to see who is doing that. But I know Michael Ronquillo, you like to throw out stars pretty often on Facebook, as does Phil McLaughlin. So we appreciate your guys' support all the week in, week out, and, you know, night in, night out. Now, with all of that done and said for, I want to thank you guys for joining us. Before we get out of here, any final words?
Just have a fun, safe weekend. Stay warm. Thank you again for the super chats. We'll probably use that to get a heater for Eric. But no, we appreciate everything. We appreciate having all you guys in here today. It was really fun. And stay safe. Have a great, Halloween weekend. I don't know if you're celebrating this weekend or next weekend, but it's going to be a good time. I'm going to the Nuggets game tomorrow. It's a day game, and then we're going to a haunted house later on after that. So that should be pretty fun. Enjoy your weekend. Have a safe weekend. And if you want to talk Broncos, hit us up on social media. If you want to talk any other sports, you can hit me up too as well. I also talk UFC and basketball and baseball and all that stuff. So
And not to get into it too deeply, guys, upcoming is the election. Make sure you guys are registered to vote and make sure you use your voice and go cast your vote. Do your civil duty to help elect the leaders of this country as well for your state, and just do your part. Go cast your votes. Make sure that's coming up on November 5th. And of course, as always, don't drink and drive. Stay safe. If you have too much to drink, call an Uber, call a taxi, call a friend. Especially with the holiday weekend coming up, I know that there's a lot of those Halloween parties that are there. Stay safe. Don't drink and drive, guys. And you know, just to end it off, as always, go Broncos.
You are listening to Dove Valley Deep Divers with Eric Trickle
and Lance Sanderson.